All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Our text is just one verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, Therefore, if any man, this is true of all who God saves, therefore if any man be in Christ. This is where salvation is found, in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The word is creation. He's a new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now today we're baptizing our brother John Keller, a public confession of Christ in believers' baptism. And this is a very, very appropriate scripture to come to in this study of 2 Corinthians on a day when we're going to be baptizing someone. When a sinner's born of God and brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is God's new creation. He's God's creation. God has created it. All brand new. And so, from then on, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now that's what John will be confessing today in water baptism. That God has created him anew, and that old things are passed away, and all things are become new. Now let's jump right into this. I want to ask the question, what is it to be in Christ? He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Well, sinners do nothing to be in Christ. We do nothing to be in Christ. In eternity, Scripture says, God the Father blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. How did He do that? According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before Him in love. God chose His people in Christ. But now in our text, specifically in the context, He's been talking about the heart. He's been talking about the constraint of the heart. And He's talking here about being in Christ in our experience of God's grace in the new birth. Being born of God in the new birth, we experience this grace whereby we're in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:24. 29 says this, now listen carefully, that no flesh should glory in God's presence. God will have no sinner glorying in His presence. But of Him, of God, are ye in Christ. It's of God by which we're in Christ, who of God is made unto us. That means God has to reveal Christ unto us. It's of God we're in Christ, and of God is He made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That means He's made all unto us, because that is all. And so the Scripture says, therefore, he that glories, he that wants to glory, let him glory in the Lord. So it's of God that we're in Christ. Now to be in Christ is to have Christ in you, in spirit. To be in Christ is to have Christ in you, in spirit. Listen to John 14:20. This is a experimental, a mysterious, a vital, inseparable union we're talking about here. In John 14:20, the Lord said, at that day, you shall know I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You take the picture of a, he gave the illustration of a vine and its branches. Christ is the vine, we're the branches. Well, we're in Christ, just like a vine is in the branch. You can't see where one ends and the other begins. They're one. And that life is coming from the vine into the branch. That's how the branch has life. You sever that branch from that vine and that branch will die. It'll wither and die. Christ said, I am the vine. And he said to his disciples, you're the branches. He said in John 17:23, I in them, and thou, Father, in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That's in Christ. That the world, and he's talking there about those that he's going to call out and make one with him, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So this oneness is for Christ to be in you, to make you to know that you're in Christ. That's the only way we're going to know we're in Christ is when Christ is in us. Now today, by believer's baptism, John's going to be confessing publicly that of God, he is in Christ. He's not saying by this baptism that he did something to be in Christ. He's saying of God is he in Christ. And it was of God that Christ was made unto him all things in his salvation. He's saying he's not glorying in himself, he's glorying in the Lord. And he's saying also that now all things are passed away and all things are become new. So what does that mean? To be a new creature, what does it mean? He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. What is that? Well, it's to be God's new creation. To be God's new creation. Created by God without any contribution from the sinner. Listen to Isaiah 57:19. The Lord said, I create the fruit of the lips. If there's going to be some praise coming out of these lips, praising God, who's going to create that? God said, I, the Lord, create the fruit of the lips. I create peace, peace to him that's far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. I will heal him. Now, God entrusted this creation to his Son in eternity. We believe one God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father entrusted the whole work of creation to His Son in eternity. In Colossians 1:15, it says that Christ is the image of the invisible God. You can't see God. God the Son took a body and came into this earth, and when you see Christ, you behold the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That means He's the firstborn of all creation. Now, what does that mean? Listen to the Scripture now. For by Him were all things created. By Christ. All things that are in heaven, all things that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Christ and for Christ. And He is before all things. And by Him, all things consist. What's the purpose of that? He is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning? He's the beginning. If we're going to have a beginning, it's going to be in Christ, the beginning. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead. There were some raised from the dead. Christ is the firstborn from the dead. And the Scripture says that in all things He might have the preeminence. That in all things He might have the preeminence because it pleased God for all fullness to dwell in Christ. So God entrusted the whole work of creation to Christ. It was God in Christ in the beginning that said, let there be light. It was God in Christ that created the heavens and the earth and said, let there be light, and He created all things. And it's Christ Jesus who will be the Creator who creates this new creation in a sinner. It'll be Christ who creates this newness in a sinner to make him a new creation. Christ is the one that does that. When we get to glory, in the end, everything that will be in heaven will be the creation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be all righteous and all holy, and no sin will be there because it'll all be the creation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in Isaiah 65:17, behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. When he talks about Jerusalem, he's talking about his people. He's talking about the people that make up that new heavenly Jerusalem. This new heaven and new earth is all the creation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, behold, I want you to see this scripture. Go to Isaiah 43:9. He says, 19. Isaiah 43:19. He says, behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? Listen to this. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You know who the wilderness is? You know who the desert is? That's you and I in whom He gives this life. That's us. Here's another description of us. The beasts of the field shall honor me, and the dragons and the owls. That's sinners in whom Christ creates this new man. We were wild beasts by nature in our sin. And He said, I'm going to bring these wild beasts to honor me because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Now that's the purpose for which this creation is all of God, all of the Lord Jesus, to show forth His praise. Now, being a new creature means that this new man, as created within a sinner, is an entirely new creation that was not there before. It was not there before. And God made it not from anything that was already there. This is an entirely new creation. God made the heavens and the earth in the beginning out of nothing. He didn't use anything that was available. And He makes this new creation entirely of Him. He called on people one time in Ezekiel 18, and He said, cast away all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? And you know what they did? They went right on their way in their religion and didn't do a thing. He said, make you a new heart, make you a new spirit. Man left to himself, man by nature, man born of a woman, born in sin. We can't make a new heart and a new spirit. We just can't do it. If we did it, we'd be working with something that's already there. And He said this, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where's the house that you're going to build unto me? Where's the place of my rest? All those things my hand made. And all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. But there's a problem. Because you and I are conceived in sin. We're conceived in sin. That means when life started in your mother's womb, you were conceived in sin. You were sin. You were conceived, you were sin. You were made of corrupt seed, you were sin. And because we're sin, we cannot make a poor and a contrite heart that will tremble at God's word. Instead, we have a stony heart that hates God's word. I defined grace to somebody recently we were talking, and I defined what grace is to them. And the person replied to me, and they said, "No, I don't believe in salvation by grace. I want it to be an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." And I said, "You do realize that you're going to stand before God in the day of judgment, and that's how He's going to judge you. You want justice? You want strict justice. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's how God shall judge you." They said, "Yes, that's the way I want it." And my reply, the only thing I knew to reply was, "You are an illustration of fallen man. That is an illustration of a stony heart." And I know what it is. I'm not belittling a person, and I'm not holding it against them. I know what it is to have that stony heart. That's all I had by nature. A man can't help but feel that way till God does this work in his heart. There's nothing positive and there's nothing negative that you and I do to make this new creation. Nothing. That's why Paul said, "In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." You got to be made new. That's got to be done from outside of us. Christ must send the Holy Spirit of God. And He sends that Holy Spirit and He creates a new man, a new spirit within these bodies of death. And in that new man, He teaches us the gospel. In the new man, He teaches us the gospel. Cody quoted it, "The Lord said to Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and the Spirit," God the Holy Spirit, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the capital S Spirit," that which is born of God the Holy Spirit, "is little s Spirit. That which is born of God the Holy Spirit is the new spirit that God promised to give to His people." And He said, don't marvel at this. Nicodemus was, he marveled at this. He could not understand how a man, a sinner, can be born again. And Christ said, marvel not at this. You must be born again. All you can do is marvel at this until you're born again. Because you will not understand it. You will not believe it till you're born again. Christ illustrated it this way. He gave two really good, simple illustrations. He said, "No man puts a piece of new cloth onto an old garment. For that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, the rent's made worse." Here's what he's saying. You take when I was a little fella, I used to always have holes in the knees of my pants. And my mother, if she took a patch and took new cloth and patched up that old garment, as soon as you put that in the washing machine, that new cloth's going to shrink. And when it does, it's going to rip away from that garment and it's going to be a worse hole than you had to begin with. And the Lord said this, "Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles will break and the wine run out and the bottles perish. They put new wine in new bottles and both are preserved." I know a dear brother, I'm going to say his name because I don't want to embarrass him, but I know a dear brother that decided he'd make some wine one time. And he made some wine. And he put that wine in some old bottles. New wine in some old bottles. And it was pretty. And it lasted a little while. As soon as that new wine started to swell, those bottles all busted. Every one of them. So there has to be a new man made and that gospel put into that new man. You can't do it in this old flesh. He said, "I will give them one heart and I will put a new spirit within you and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh." Now what I'm saying to you is what Paul said in Ephesians 2, we're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Christ prays the Father who sends the Holy Spirit, and Christ is formed in you, and then we're made partakers of the divine nature. Whatever God makes is like God. Like begets like. You have children, and your children look just like you and act just like you. I have children, and when Will Curtis was born, there was no denying that child was my child. And the older he gets, there's no denying that child is my child. But you, when you're born of God, you're going to have a nature like your heavenly Father. You'll be partaker of the divine nature. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. This new birth's not of that same kind of seed you were born with naturally. But this is born of incorruptible seed by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And this is the Word whereby the gospel is being preached to you right now. Would it be amazing today if God actually spoke this Word into somebody's heart and a new man was conceived within? This is how He does it. This is how He does it. So we're at God's mercy. You see, you say, well, if a sinner can't do anything about it, why aren't you doing what the rest of the preachers are doing in the world? They're begging sinners to do something for Jesus. Because my Jesus is God. That's why. And you're at His mercy. He's not at your mercy. You're going to have to be brought to bow to Him and be brought down to see, I need Him to have mercy on me. I need Him to give me life. And so we're at His mercy. A sinner will never, and he can never, even believe that God's Word is God's Word until this work is done. Much less believe on God. Most people don't even believe this is God's Word. You'll read them this Word. You'll show them this Word. And they'll say, I don't believe that. That's God's Word. This is the Word of God we're talking about, right? I don't believe that. They won't even believe this is God's Word until this work's done in them. So now let me ask you this. When Christ creates this new creation, what does He do then? When this work's done, He makes us to know that old things are passed away and all things are become new. He makes you to know this. There's no doubt that He's going to make you to know this. Now what I want to do is I want to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and I want to review what we've seen as we've gone through 2 Corinthians. And you'll see right here from Paul's own pen, the Holy Spirit giving him the words to write, you'll see exactly what was on his heart and what he meant in this letter by old things being passed away and all things being made new. Let's see it now. 2 Corinthians 3. When Christ creates us anew, He makes you to know that the old covenant is passed away. What I mean by that? I mean He makes you to know for the first time that you're not saved by your work. And He makes you to know that you're under the new everlasting covenant of grace. Look here in 2 Corinthians 3:6. Paul said He made us able ministers of the New Testament. That word is a new covenant. Everything's made new. It's a New Testament. Not of the letter. It's not of your flesh. It's not of the letter. But it's of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You remember what we saw that little S Spirit means? Christ said, the words I speak unto you are Spirit and life. What it means is, as this gospel is being preached, Christ our head from heaven's glory speaks this word into the heart of His people, and that's how you have this new life. He has to speak the word. Me speaking the word, He's going to use an earthen vessel, but He's got to speak the word to make it effectual. And He says here, but if the ministration of death, that was the old covenant, if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, that's the Ten Commandments, if it was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, that wasn't to last. That covenant was not to last. It was to be done away. Look, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? If that old ministration was glorious, how much more shall this one be? Read on. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory. You know what that just said? That just said the law was given to condemn you and me. That's what it was. It was the ministration of condemnation to condemn us. Well, if it was glorious, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. This new covenant is God ministering righteousness to His people, apart from our works. Look, For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. This glory is this New Testament is so much more glorious, that other covenant doesn't even have glory compared to it. Look, for if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. You see, when He works this work in your heart for the first time, you're going to find out you're not made righteous by keeping the Ten Commandments. And you'll find out you've never even kept the Ten Commandments. Not once. I haven't and you haven't. There's one person that has. That's God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that ever kept the Ten Commandments. And He's going to make you to see that you're not righteous by reforming your life and turning over a new leaf. We need to be transformed, not reformed. And He makes you rejoice in this. It's what Romans 10 says. Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. It says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That thief on the cross was doing no works. That thief on the cross had his hands nailed to the cross and his feet nailed to the cross, and he was not doing any good works. And as far as the world was concerned, he was just a criminal. But in his heart, Christ did this work, and he believed unto righteousness. He was perfectly righteous before God because he trusted Christ. You see, the Scripture says we don't make void the law through faith. That's what we're accused of. They say, you're an antinomian. If you don't tell sinners they have to keep the law, I'm telling you, you can't keep the law. I'm telling you who did. Christ did. But I'm not making void the law by what I'm telling you. Men who tell you you have to keep the law and that you can, they're making void the law because they're going to have to bring it down to your level to make it so you can keep it. And that's just going to be outwardly. But I'm telling you, no. And I don't make void the law. Through faith in Christ, we established the law because He established the law for His people. This is what I'm talking about. He brings you to see that all the old ceremonies and the priests and the offerings and all the old covenant works and even the gospel precepts here, none of that's given for you to work out a righteousness and present yourself to God with it and say, well, didn't I do the best I could? None of that. Everything in this book is to bring His people to Christ, who is the righteousness of God that God's provided for His people. He is the righteous. And when you're made to see that, you'll know, I'm under a new covenant. It's called a covenant of grace. It means Christ did everything required in this covenant so that I don't have to do a thing. I am saved. That's good news. Now here's something else. By this new creation, our old bondage of blindness is passed away, and we have a new liberty of spiritual sight now. Look down at 2 Corinthians 3:15. Even unto this day, when Moses is read, when the old covenant law is read, the veil is upon their heart. Most people read the Scriptures and the veil's on their heart and they can't understand what the Scriptures are saying. But watch this. Nevertheless, when that heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And here's what happens. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. How the Spirit enters and He gives us liberty from this veil being on our heart now. And look down at chapter 4 and verse 6. Here's how we have this liberty. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The same. See, this is creation. A comparison of creation here we're talking about. When the same Lord that said, let there be light in the first creation, says, let there be light in our heart, and we have liberty to behold the Lord in all His glory in the face of Christ Jesus. For the first time, we understand what the book is saying. And we understand it's all glorifying Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who is the righteousness of God, who declared God just and the justifier. And we, for the first time, rejoice to behold with new eyes, with spiritual faith, the glory of God in Christ Jesus. This is when that old deadness of blindness and darkness fades away and that new sight enters in, and you can see Christ, behold Christ. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you'll have liberty indeed. Now, before we were created anew, we were only the old fallen image of Adam. That's all we were, was the old fallen image of Adam. We got it from our father, his from his, all the way back to Adam. You notice when you read the Scriptures, Adam was created in the image of God. As soon as Adam had a child, it says Seth was created in the image of Adam. Not God. He came forth a sinner. A sinner. But that old man of flesh now, he's still with us. But it's no longer that we're only that old man of flesh. It's no longer that we're only the image of Adam. Being only the image of Adam's passed away now. Now we also have a new man with a new image created within us. Look back at 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all, with open face, beholding it as in a glass, the glory of the Lord Jesus, are changed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. God predestinated every one of His chosen people to undergo this creation right here, to undergo this change right here. He said, whom He did foreknow, that is, who He foreordained, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that His Son might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, everything God's doing is to glorify Christ. This is so that Christ will be the firstborn, eldest son in the whole family of God and get all the glory because the Father trusted the salvation of the whole house into the hand of His elder son. And God predestinated us at the appointed hour to hear the gospel and this work of the Spirit be done in the heart, and each one that He chose for us to be conformed in spirit to the image of Christ. He predestinated this. Turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So here's what God does. Christ makes us do this right here. Ephesians 4:22. He makes you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man. That's the fleshly man. That's what you are by nature. He makes you put that off. It's corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And He makes us to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And He makes you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, this is the work of God. If God creates something, it's righteous and holy. Go to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. He makes you do this right here. Colossians 3:10. He makes you put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. This new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of Christ who created the new man within you. You see, Christ is not the new man that's created and renewed within. Christ is not created. Christ is not renewed. Christ is Christ. He's eternal. It's true we're told in places to put on Christ. But brethren, this new man is the new image of Christ. It's a new man created in the image of Christ that Christ Himself created. And that's important to note because some people are saying that we're just old sinful flesh and now you have Christ in you. Well, who's believing? Who's repenting? What part of me is believing and repenting? Christ is not doing it for me. Christ and this new man are one. They're inseparable. But there is a new man in which He grants you repentance and faith and teaches you this gospel. And you believe and you repent. Scripture says if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And it says, and the capital S Holy Spirit bears witness with our little S Spirit. You see, there's two. They're one. They're inseparable. This new man's in the image of Christ. But we are believing in this new man that's given. Now, that's not to give you glory and give you something to boast in. I'm just saying to you that God has done what He promised to do. He's created a new man in you. And at the same time, I'm trying to tell you, your old dead flesh don't do a thing. And to say that it does is to preach free will works religion. It don't do anything. Everything's done in this new creation by God. And that's a must. That's a necessity. And so for the first time, you hate everything about your old sinful flesh. And you begin to delight in Christ for the first time and in all the things that He's accomplished for you and in walking before Him and pleasing Him. You rejoice. You hate the things about yourself and about your sin, and you love everything about Christ. And this is the result of this work. And one day, He says He's not only going to quicken us in that spirit, He's going to do it in our mortal bodies. And we're going to be in His image perfectly without sin in body and spirit. Now, go to 2 Corinthians 4. For this reason, because this work's done, we use new honesty now in declaring the Word of God, and our old dishonesty in dealing with God's Word is passed away. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You see that? We're not handling this Word deceitfully anymore. Now we're preaching the truth. Now we're declaring the truth of Christ. Why? Because that old dishonesty's passed away. This new honesty's come because Christ's made us honest to deal with His Word honestly. And look at this. Our old way of glorying in ourself is passed away. Now, there's the new way of glorying only in the Lord. Look at verse 5. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves for your servants for Jesus' sake. You know what a difference that is in Paul? Before God, Christ did this work in him, all Paul did was preach himself. All he did was preach man's works. You go to Philippians 3 and read that list of things that he said he had confidence in. But now, he says, we don't preach ourselves anymore. All that stuff is nothing but dung to me now. We preach not ourselves, but Christ the Lord. We want Him to have all the glory. And look at that at verse 7. He says, not only do we preach Christ, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're not only not preaching ourselves, we're not even saying we have any ability to make you believe what we're preaching. You see, that's wanting Christ to have all the glory. That's giving the glory to Him and none to the sinner. That's new. That wasn't there by nature. That's new. And then look, in all God's providence, the old way of looking at when we would suffer or anything would take place, there was an old way we looked at everything. Oh, we got down and we got upset and we just, it was the end of everything good because we wasn't going our way. And that old way of looking at things has passed away. Now we have a new way of looking at things. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. How do you walk like this? Look at verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. We didn't have that by nature. That wasn't our sight by nature. That wasn't how we walked by nature. See, that old way of walking passed away. You still have that old flesh with you, and you still pine away at the things of this world, but Christ comes and makes those things continually pass away and makes you look to Him at God's right hand. And see, there's where your home really is. And then look at this, our old selfish motive of living for ourselves that's passed away. We have a new motive to live to Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That means if one died for all, then all for whom Christ died are dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Now we know the gospel. Now we know that when Christ died, all His members died in Him. That is, all His people. Now we know that we're dead to the law because it's exhausted everything it demands on us when it exhausted it on Christ. We're dead to sin's power to damn us because Christ satisfied divine justice. Our scapegoat, all the sins of His people were laid on our scapegoat. And our scapegoat took our sins away to a land not inhabited so that before the judgment seat of God, God remembers them no more. God says, our sins are passed away. If you take a compass and you start going north, there is a magnetic field that God made on this in this earth. And if you start going north, when you get to the North Pole and you start going south, that compass is going to turn around and show you now you're going south. You're no longer going north anymore. When you're going north right here, it's going to show you north that way. When you get to the North Pole and cross over it, that compass is going to turn around and it's going to show you north back that way now. But if you go east, that compass won't ever change. It'll always be pointing north, and there'll be no point at which you start going west. And if you go west, at no point will you start going east. And He says our sins are cast away as far as the east is from the west. There's no turning back. They're gone. They're passed away forever. And now we're risen with Christ at God's right hand, and that means we're complete in Christ. We are as He is, sitting at God's right hand, complete in Him. And so now we're taught by this to no longer live unto our flesh, but to live unto Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us, who died and rose again. Paul put it this way, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Because if salvation come by works or by law, then Christ died in vain. So I don't frustrate God's grace in the least bit now. I used to. That's all I used to do. But old things are passed away and all things have become new. And then since we're now constrained by Christ's love for us, our old way of knowing men after the flesh and glorying in the appearance and thinking that's what made us to differ, that old way's gone. And now we have a new way of glorying in the heart and knowing men after the Spirit. In verse 12, 2 Corinthians 5:12, he said, he spoke of our old way of glorying in appearance and not in heart. And then in verse 16, he says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, although we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more after the flesh. Go to Galatians 6. I want to show you something real quick. We used to constrain other people. And we used to have to be constrained. That was the only way we'd do anything in religion. Is to promise me a reward, and promise me I'm going to get whipped if I don't do it. That used to be the only way you could get us to do anything in religion. But it's not that way anymore. Look here, Galatians 6:12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. He said, our constraint now is by Christ loving us, and it's in our heart now. But he said, they that want to make a fair show in the flesh, they want to make an outward show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised only lest they themselves should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. They won't preach what I'm preaching to you now because they know that they'll get kicked out on their ear if they do. Look, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh in appearance. Now that's the old way. That way's passed away. Here's the new way. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, this is the rule we're under right here. Many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. You know what he's saying to us? In Colossians 3, over there where he talked about being renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him, he says, now, there's neither Greek nor Jew to a believer. When we're dealing with fellow believers, one might have been raised a Jew and claim to be of the Israel of God. Not to believers anymore. One may be a Gentile. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. There's neither barbarian or Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. We know no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In Christ, we're one. Believers are one. You want to cure racism? Preach gospel. Preach Christ Him crucified. Let God give a man a new heart. That'll cure it. It won't cure it in the old flesh, but it'll cure it in that new man. When that old way passes away and all things become new. So, this is why Paul comes now to 2 Corinthians 5:17 and says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the next phrase says, and all these things are of God. Now, John, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen to me. We continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus the same way we start, by hearing this gospel preached. By His grace, by His Spirit, He continues to grow us in grace and knowledge of Him. And so Peter says, wherefore, lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. What's he talking about there? See, there's still an old man of flesh in all these brethren sitting right here. And they're going to constantly do things that you could, if you wanted to, you could do something malicious. You could do something full of guile, full of hypocrisy, full of envy. You could speak evil because they'll do something to warrant that from you. And you've got an old flesh that wants to do that. But if we're going to have this gospel right here and keep it here and keep hearing this word and keep growing in this grace, he says, lay all that aside. Put off that old man and do what? And as newborn babes, as a newborn baby, desire the sincere milk of this word that you may grow thereby. The same way you started is how you're going to grow. And that's why all these put on the, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies and forgive one another and be long-suffering with one another and let the Word of God dwell in you richly. All those exhortations are for this reason, so that nothing will separate us from one another, so that we all together can have this gospel and continue under this gospel and be grown by our Lord. That's the purpose. Now one day, I want you to go to Revelation 21. I'm done. One day, we're going to hear what the Apostle John heard when he saw that new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I saw that yesterday. I saw Kristen coming with her dad, and she was prepared and adorned. She was a bride adorned for her husband. But one day we're going to see this. The last elect child is going to be created anew by Christ. And we're going to see New Jerusalem coming down. All eyes are going to see Him. He's going to come down from above, from that holy mountain of God, New Jerusalem. And He's going to come down. This is what Apostle John saw. And he heard Him say something. This is what he said in Revelation 21:3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He'll dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Why? Look at these next words. For the former things are passed away. Old things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, it is done. Verse 6, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I have given to him that's athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But listen to this warning, but the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Won't it be good, brethren, when all our sin is gone, and all the sin of our brethren is gone, and there's nothing else to mar this or interfere with this, We're just all the complete new creation of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that'll be? That'll be heaven. That'll be heaven, where everybody there is the creation of Christ, righteous. Won't that be something? I can't even imagine it. It'll be good, though. It'll be good. That's what he means by being made a new creation. All right. We're going to, just so everybody knows, we're going